Small Biz Central. The Brain. Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain was once very thirsty. Seth Goldman was continually in search of the perfect drink to quench his thirst after a run, a game, basketball, or between grad school classes. This thirst for the perfect quench paralleled his path to co-found Honest Tea. That was about 10 years ago. Today, Honest Tea can be found in tens of thousands of stores across the U.S. The company has applied its passion for social responsibility to initiatives in the environment and creating partnerships with the growers, cultures, and communities behind the teas. Joining us on the line from their headquarters in Bethesda, Maryland is Seth Goldman. He's the co-founder of Honest Tea. Seth, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Thanks, David. Good to be with you.
Tell us what originally led, this story. What led to the creation of this company, Honest
Tea?
Well,
I have always been thirsty for, the drink that didn't have all of that sugar in it. Before we started this company, basically the only options in the beverage market was water, or watery drinks, or drinks, usually with high fructose corn syrup and tons of it, 100 calories worth, and just more sugar than I cared for.
Right.
And so I combined that with an entrepreneurial itch that I think was getting itchier. I was ready to try something. I was anxious to go out with it and sort of test some, both my ideas and ability, in an entrepreneurial venture. And so they all kind of converged at the right time where I was thirsty. I was ready to try something. And my co-founder, who had been my professor at business school, had come up with the perfect name for an all-natural beverage company.
Seth, were you right out of school? Was this your
first?
No,
I'd been out for about 2.5 years out of business school, so I'd already worked, before going to business school as well. But I, in fact, had been working for a Calvert Group, which is a socially responsible mutual fund company, and had gone and given a presentation in New York City to a bunch of institutional investors. And after that, I went out for a run. And that was where, after the run, I came back and was thirsty and was looking for something that, wasn't there. And I said, okay, I'm ready to do something about it.
Need was very much the mother of invention then.
Yep, very much so.
When you put this thing together, how did you want to be different in terms of your mission? And I'm curious if that mission has changed or evolved as the company has grown.
Well, certainly from the start, what we were doing was different. It was creating a beverage that was, just had a very different sweetness profile than was out there. We did also have some organic ingredients. And the other thing we did that was different was just creating the packaging. It was very, very simple and basic, and especially in a world where, or in an industry where so much of the packaging has a lot of hype and claims and probably some overstatements, we try to do the opposite and just be very understated with how we presented ourselves. And as we started to grow the business, we started to be able to get more organic ingredients, and that really led to us to be able to expand our commitment to sustainability. And we've now made everything we sell organic certified, and also we've brought on some fair trade certified. So there's no question that over time we really increased our ability to, I'd say, fulfill our values within the business.
Holding to these values that you've set up in terms of organic and sustainability, I would imagine that does drive your cost up a little bit. How do you approach that?
Well, our product does cost a little bit more than, the rest of the drinks on the market, but not an extensive amount, not an exorbitant amount. We're in general 10 to 20% more. And when you consider the fact that we actually have to pay not just more for the ingredients, but more for the packaging, it's actually quite, one of our goals was to make organics accessible to everyday consumers. So, I think the other way we do it is it's very, very lean in all other aspects, whereas, a lot of beverage companies have these huge marketing budgets and they're advertising on American Idol or, the Super Bowl. We just don't do any of that. Our marketing is very grassroots. We just go out and give samples to people and, go out to outdoor events and stores and give out samples, and that's our marketing. So, where I'd say we don't make as much money on the product, we save it in other places.
We're visiting with Seth Goldman. He's the co-founder of Honest Tea, the website www.honesttea.com. We pointed at this a little bit, Seth, and I wanted to probe a little more. From your point of view, when it comes to making a great brand, how did you approach creating the brand itself? And you've pointed to some of these ideas, but we could dig maybe a little bit deeper if that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to get to the very, very core values of what you stand for. And so, you know, for us, it's the anything we make has to be authentic, both in terms of taste and in terms of ingredients. It has to be organic, and it has to be healthier than the prevailing options. So just an interesting little evolution. When we started, we thought of ourselves as a tea company, and so we were making tea bags and that kind of thing. And then we realized, you know what? The tea isn't the most important word in our name. It's the word honest. And so that helped us really evolve in a very different direction, not toward tea bags, but toward other beverages that fit the honest profile. So we brought out a line called Honest Aid, you know, a cranberry lemonade or a pomegranate blueberry drink that are, once again, lightly sweetened, organic, and healthier than the prevailing options. And then we brought out a line called Honest Kids, which are the juice, a pouch drinks for kids they can put in their lunchbox, but that also have, you know, dramatically fewer calories than the prevailing options out there.
Yeah. Tell us about the early stages. I know our audience is typically entrepreneurial. What were some of the challenges in that early stage of growth, and how did you manage through them?
Oh, boy. There were so many.
I had to ask, right?
Yeah, no, it always brings up some painful memories. No, I mean, the biggest challenge was distribution. You know, we were creating a drink that a lot of consumers wanted, but we couldn't find a way to get it to them. You know, that I think there's that saying, you know, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. Well, that's not the case in beverages, because you can create a product that consumers want, but you have, you know, you can't ship liquids through the mail. And so we had to find a way to get it. And distribution was is still very consolidated. It's, you know, if you're not with Coke or Pepsi, then the options you have to get your product to the stores are very limited. And so for us, we managed to get our drinks to the natural food stores, and thank goodness for that. But then beyond that, it was hard. You know, you couldn't get to a deli or convenience store, and so we'd work with a beer distributor in one market, and in another market we'd work with a cheese distributor, and another market we had a corned beef distributor. It just was a patchwork that was very challenging, and especially because a lot of those companies were, I'd say, early stage as well, and didn't necessarily have the ability to in some cases pay us, which, as you can imagine, might be an issue.
I don't know. It's a detail.
So that was really a huge obstacle. And it was something we managed to overcome. But it frankly, for someone else launching a beverage company now, it's going to be a big obstacle. Now, one that's not getting any easier.
Your beverage is delivered refrigerated, isn't it?
No, it's not. It doesn't have to be delivered refrigerated.
Well, that's good. That helps in terms of the transportation piece, I'm sure.
It does, but it is still not an easy...
Not an easy game, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you're developing new flavors, and I don't know how much innovation is actually going on in that particular department right now, but at some point you were doing this, how does that process work?
We are still doing it very aggressively.
Excellent. I was curious how that process works.
Well, it's very... organic, and I don't mean it. Right. No, I mean that, you know, we are always out there looking at new formulations, looking at teas. We're often being sent different varieties from you know, tea community, growing communities around the world. And so when we get them, we try them out, and then we're also thinking about where things are going. And so that's the amazing thing about tea. It's the world's second most popular drink, second only to water, so there's no shortage of tea blends that are out there. It's really more a matter for us to find the ones that we think are going to be the most attractive to the consumers.
Is there one person that ultimately makes a decision about whether a flavor is going to get the green light?
I guess I'm certainly guiding that, but we'll evolve on it. We'll try something, and we'll say, well, that didn't quite work out. Let's try it with this ingredient or that ingredient, or, you know, make it less sweet, or use a different sweetener. And
You tweak it.
Evolve.
Yeah. I wanted to move a little bit to the innovation around packaging and sustainability. How does that work? What does that process look like for you? And, you know, if you could elaborate around that a little bit.
That, too, is a very, it's a continual process. So we're always looking at how we can improve the, reduce the environmental footprint of our packaging, whether that means increasing the recycled content, reducing the overall weight of the package, or increasing the what happened, you know, the possibilities for the package to go somewhere besides the landfill. And so a good example is what we did with our kids' pouches. We were initially, we thought we had a package that was going to be the first recyclable kids' pouch, but unfortunately, the tests, you know, on it with a as designed didn't work. We had to put in a foil liner on the bottom that made it non-recyclable. But then we worked out an arrangement where we are able to reclaim the pouches. We have kids after they drink the pouches can collect them and send them to a company that pays the kids for the pouches and then puts them into makes them into handbags and pencil cases. So it's great because it gets kids really thinking about their role as consumers and the fact that they are creating waste, and it gets them taking responsibility for that.
Yeah,
and it rewards them for taking responsibility.
You've recently developed a new relationship with Coca-Cola. Now, you're an entrepreneurial, kind of nimble company, and this must introduce some interesting an interesting equation for you. Tell us what led to that idea and how it's going and whatever else you'd like us to know.
Sure. Well, it starts with this issue. With the question you asked me was what were the challenges in distribution was.
Yeah.
And you know, until very recently, continued to be a challenge for us. But ultimately, if you're a beverage company, to really be successful, you need to get it. Consumers need to be able to find it. And I think the other thing is a mission-driven company, which is really how we think of ourselves, probably even more than thinking of ourselves as a beverage company.
Sure.
A company that takes its mission seriously and really seeks to maximize its impact, then we have to get to scale. We have to reach a point where our purchases can help move change in the growing communities, where our sales can help move diets among the consumers, who so we have more healthier options out there. And so we had been growing very quickly. I think we last year we grew 70%. This year we're growing even faster than that.
That is extraordinary.
And yet at the same time, when we think about what it would take to reach the kind of level where we could really make those changes happen, we were looking at least 10 years away. And I can also say that the roadmap looked a lot blurrier, more blurry, because there just wasn't as much of a clear path ahead, because that patchwork of distribution, it just breaks down. There's parts of the country where there just aren't options to get distribution for some markets unless you're with Coke or Pepsi. So when Coca-Cola approached us, it really made a lot of sense to have the conversation, and especially because the way that we structure the relationship is that we continue to be, and I continue to be, running the company with the same entrepreneurial spirit and certainly the same mission that we've had for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing, and I just came back this morning from launching our distribution this week with Coca-Cola, is that the distributors are as excited about our brand as we are excited to be able to have it in their system. But it also it fills in a lot of holes. They don't have organic products, so they don't have fair trade products, and they don't have products that necessarily are fit a healthier profile aside from water.
So it's really just launching as we speak, isn't it? We're here in
September. Monday was the first day. We're here on Thursday, so we're starting to get some of the early sales numbers, but it's very exciting to see the initial enthusiasm with which they've embraced the product and the brand.
That's absolutely fabulous. Extraordinary growth. 70%, I guess that's year over year. Our guest has been Seth Goldman. He's the co-founder of Honest Tea, the website www.honesttea.com. Seth, thanks so much for sharing your story and letting us inside of your company a little bit today on the Small Biz Brain.
Sure, David. Good to be with you.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Small Biz.
Small Biz Central.